free thy land. Gone underground, on the outer fringe of freedom. And this is your host, Freer Freedom. And tonight we'll be talking about eating Martian pussy to save America and the planet. I've got some more intel for you on the tall whites at Dreamland in Las Vegas. Charles Hall was the weatherman who observed him. He had some kind of a clearance from the tall whites themselves to speak freely, which is rare in UFO circles. Usually the government's trying to cover up anything, and most of your leakers who've signed contracts, you have to interpret what they say. They can only speak metaphorically, but Charles Hall was able to speak forthrightly. Now, one of the reasons that the tall whites are probably a hybrid is that they are close to our size for most of their lives, but later in their life, they start to get taller and taller until the skeletal frame stretches their internal organs too much and they die from the growth. Now, the reason I say this is a hybrid, because you can see the same thing in marijuana hybrids. When your marijuana goes into bloom, normally it will stop growing, but if there's tie in it, it will continue to stretch upward. So late in life, the tall whites get taller and taller, and the mantids, I'm going to call them the mantoids, are taller. So if their genetics are in the tall whites, it makes sense that they would get taller. And by the way, I think I'm part mantid, recent upgrade, because my father was in the Navy. And all of a sudden, late in life, I'm figuring out all these things that I couldn't figure out earlier. It could be the supplements, but I think I may be part mantid, as we all are to some extent. They infiltrate the breeding on pretty much any planet they come across. So the tall whites are a mantid hybrid. But the really weird thing about the tall whites is that they don't have any teeth. Now, how would that make sense? You know, fish have teeth. Pretty much everything has some kind of a chewing ability, but they don't. And they're supposed to be vegetarians or vegans, according to Charles Hall. But maybe they're lying about that. He said that they had Raytheon microwaves, but he didn't, in the video I watched, he didn't say anything about them having a Jack LaLanne juicer, because there's a lot of chewing involved in eating vegetables. I mean, unless they come from a planet where tits grow on trees, that's highly unlikely. So why don't they have any teeth? Well, I previously said that they're probably from Mars, refugees. And if we look at Mars, you know, there's not much growing there. There's very little food on Mars. And at some point, it may have been lush like the Earth. But because of how the sun works, they've lost the growing ability there. So if this happened over time, the tall whites who live there would eventually get into cannibalism just to survive. There'd be less and less food. And by the way, that's in our future from 2025 to 2036 from global warming. There's going to be some cannibalism going on. So if there's cannibalism going on Mars over hundreds of thousands of years, it may be that the people who survive there are people who stop growing teeth so they can't eat their young. And this could be another reason why they're so protective of their young, is because they're trying to protect them from other Martians who have teeth. This is sort of confirms that they're from Mars, in my view. I previously said that the tall whites may be related to the Neanderthal giants with the red hair. And the indigenous people do have myths and legends that the tall red-headed giants were cannibalistic. Again, more confirming evidence. And finally, the cattle mutilations. During the cattle mutilations, which are extensive, even though they're not reported in the media anymore, the guts of the cow are sucked out its ass. Now, who would eat that? You know, somebody without teeth? Because it sounds like a gut puree. I don't see the giant lizards that used to hunt dinosaurs eating that. It could be the tall whites, because although they're getting their logistical support from the military, the Air Force, for their hammocks and their clothes and other things they build their ship with, maybe they don't trust the military on the food part. And, you know, the microwave could be, ovens could be necessary to kill any germs. Because, I mean, they're sucking it out a cow's ass. There must be some cow dung in there. But these are also proud and haughty people. I don't see them eating fecal filet. So those cattle mutilations could be done by the mantis and the grays on behalf of the human hybrids that they're breeding in, I guess, underground bases, who are biological and need to be fed. They're kept in tubes. And I guess liquid food would be easier. But it could be the tall whites.
You're listening to Free Thy Land on KFUC Radio. That's KFUC, Quarter Militia, California. 10944 BCFM. KFUC Radio, where it's the truth that sets you free.
In California, multi-day protests are often broken up by using the lodging law 647E. Now, lodging is usually based on a 7-day occupancy. So if you never sleep in the same protest location the same night within a 7-day period, you have a very good chance of winning a 647E case. What this means to you is that you need to have 7 different objectives to protest against, which means perhaps more solidarity with other causes. Now, so what I'm saying is, instead of just the police department, the jail, and city hall has your protest occupy spots, add in, say, real estate offices that contribute to gentrification, lumber yards that carry old growth lumber, banks, of course. Although usually you can't sleep on the sidewalks in downtown in the city, but they usually have to offer you somewhere where you can lie on the sidewalks rather than ban it everywhere, and there may be a map. If you continue such protests week after week after week, not only are you building a better world by pressuring the fascists at the locations that you protest, but you're also denying the fascists the tribute they steal from you in rent. This action also maximizes your time for protest, because you could hold down a job during the day and just do the protest at night. And don't forget, at least once a month, on First Friday, a shroom-a-thon for abductees to take shrooms in a sanctuary. There are a few reasons why the tall whites and the mantoids are not working together, even though the tall whites are probably a hybrid. And first of all, according to my probability paradigm, the mantoids don't like ultraviolet B light. And yet the lizards on the moon probably love ultraviolet B. In fact, I have a lizard light from Zoo Med, 50 watts, B because marijuana produces more THC when exposed to ultraviolet B light. The plant uses it to protect the flowers and the seeds, potential seeds. I do have a deal with the plants to only use that light when some other light is also present. I think it really annoys the plants. But as far as the lizards on the moon, according to William Tompkins, there were giant translucent obelisks that were held up by anti-gravity during a hit on the moon. The bottom was even broken out, but the obelisk is still floating above it. And lizards love that ultraviolet, so they would need, say, a translucent skyscraper in order to get their regular dose. And the reason that they're natural allies is that on the high mountains on Earth, that's where ultraviolet B is greater. That's also probably where the Joe Price found the, with his remote viewing, the bases. Those are probably lizard bases. And therefore, the more infrared areas in the deserts or underwater would be the mantid or mantoid territory. So they could split up the Earth quite conveniently for the two of them. Another reason why the tall whites and the mantoids may be at odds with each other is that in the ancient Sanskrit text, the Mahabharata, there was a war between those who had vimanas, which are essentially anti-gravity UFOs, and the evil mechanical using a vimana group used apparently a hologram in the with it that looked like the relative of one of the heroes, and that is similar to mantoid tactics. And so I believe it was a war between the mantoids and someone. And who would that someone be? A lost Earth civilization? Maybe. But the pyramid culture is from that period. And there are probably pyramids on Mars too. And as I said, Earth is obviously a place for people fleeing Mars to go to. So it's probably the tall whites and the mantoids that had those ancient wars. And there's also about 800,000 years ago, there's a large tektite field stretched across Australia from Antarctica to China, and it's all pure silicon, as I believe the mantid are a pure silicon being with very little no water in it at all. So that could be a mantoid moon that was brought down during this ancient Mahabharata war between the tall whites and the mantoids. Another possible reason they're at odds with each other is that the both of these groups have been invading my dreams. The mantoids usually appear as a couple, and the tall whites appear as a group. Now, the reason I know they're the tall whites is there was some humor involved. It first occurred when I called into a UFO talk show, and I had a dream relating to the topic. I was talking about how I thought that the psychedelic sea people of Proxima B were also in my head, and I tested for it by imagining I was on their planet just surfacing from the deep sea. There are sea people, and imagining the large nearby sun overhead. And when I did that, I started crying, and I don't really give a shit where did those emotions come from. So in my dream, I saw someone who I believe lived in their vehicle, and they had their shirt off and their face was sunburned, and their torso was white. So that would be the head just breaking above the water, getting sunburned by the nearby sun. I thought that was rather funny, and the person had earlier appeared in my dream saying, "Why are you? Why do you say I come from Toloman?" which is another name for Alpha Centauri. And then after that, I had some humorous, like, prankish black magic happen to me. A few things broke on me in a funny way. And another time I had a dream where I was at my old house with my parents, and someone else had bought it, and we were just staying there, and we got in trouble, I guess, for not being respectful enough or something, and the woman said that my parents would be required to do a few hours work, and I would be required to do 45 minutes work, and my parents are dead. In the dream, my mother has a young, when she was young, started working on the car. Now, this could be because I think that the glowing plasma on UFOs contain the souls of the dead, and that's why there's often large human sacrifices necessary for large number of UFOs to get here. So they were enslaving the dead. I guess they were trying to terrorize me, and in the dream I sure wasn't going to do 45 minutes of work. But the next day I accidentally stepped in dog shit, and it ended up cleaning up for about 45 minutes. So I guess it wasn't black magic, it was more brown magic. And they were also, in another earlier dream, they referred to me, I was bragging about the Pop-Yop stuff and stopping the terrorists, and there was like a party going on, and they were throwing women at me, and they were, again, they were referring to someone next to me as like their property, and whether they could take a picture. They asked the person who owned the property if they could take a picture. And when I woke, I thought that was probably me. I was sitting next to him. I'm known for not getting my picture in the activist news. Alex DeRossi is does a very good job of keeping my face out of the protest pictures. And so I thought that was probably me. And I guess, you know, in the pyramid culture, there was probably some slavery going on. The Templars were known for using slavery. So the tall whites, you know, are not really good folks in my view, even though they're against the mantoids like I am. And in other dreams, I've got the impression that they were like information sellers or you know, partisan booksellers on the run, armed booksellers, and that someone was moving in on their territory and taking over their bookstores. Kind of silly, and I don't totally trust fucking dream intel, but they are known for living at Dreamland. And I rarely get humor in my dreams. It does confirm what Charles Hall said, that they do have a sense of humor.
You're listening to Free Thy Land on KFUC Radio. That's KFUC, Quarter Militia, California. 10944 BCFM. KFUC Radio, where it's the truth that sets you free.
Protect your consciousness. Researchers have found that telepathic aliens are eavesdropping on our thinking. Don't let them invade your thoughts. Take magic mushrooms to scramble their robot circuits. It's true. They can monitor everything you experience. So if you're thinking of having sex and you're not an exhibitionist, be sure to take your magic mushrooms so the aliens can't peep on you while you're having fun. Don't forget, save America by taking magic mushrooms to protect us from the telepathic alien invasion. Here's something about the tall whites that you might find amusing. Charles Hall had some Sears Roebuck and Montgomery Ward catalogs up at Area 53, 54 in Dreamland that he used for toilet paper. Now, I said before that the tall whites were getting their clothing from the Air Force, and the women did not like the clothing that the Air Force had selected for them because they were a bunch of old men and had no sense of fashion. So they got their own clothing from Sears and Montgomery Ward. Now, these are very smart, proud aliens who thought that they were getting fashionable clothing from Sears. I would buy clothing from Sears, but not because it was fashionable, but because it was cheap. And all of my friends who I've told this to have found it amusing that the aliens thought they were getting fashionable clothing from Sears. Now, I know I said on Why Worlds Fail that I wouldn't make sarcastic jokes about the tall whites, even though they were jokers. But I didn't really make that joke. They made themselves the butt of their own humor on that one. And he said that that one of the women it was very proud that she was able to achieve a nurse-like look. I don't really make deals. The deals that are forced on me in contracts these days, I can't even read the contracts, so they're not really even binding. I'm not going to make deals with the dark side. The militia work I do is of my own free will. I can come and go on the battlefield as I choose. I'm not a member of the military. I can't be commanded by anyone in the military. I theoretically outrank them under the Fifth Amendment. But in the spirit of detente, and since it appears we are both fighting against the mantoids, and because in my dreams they apparently wanted to have sex with me, I would be willing, in order to save America and protect the planet, to eat Martian pussy. As long as the psychedelic sea people don't get upset, nor the burning bush UFO at the Puerto Rican airport. And this is not a deal, as I said. It's merely because they appeared to want to have sex with me. And since there's already way too many hybrids, I'm keeping my dick in my pants. And I'm assuming that they are standard vaginas, similar to humans. And I won't get pregnant from the activity, and there's not a tail or a tentacle that'll pop out at some point. And she would have to be of age, of course. I'm not one of those child trafficking Republican pedos. And I guess if they live 800 years, that would mean she would have to be 200 years old. And I guess you'd have to be reasonably attractive at that age. And I don't really mind if she is wearing cheap Sears and Roebuck panties and bra. Of course, I would prefer it in anarchist black. And also, I'm hoping they're not 10 times as long towards orgasm. I don't think I could go 400 minutes. But I would be willing to even do 2 if it was by anarchist Martian. And I would be willing to go for the multiple, as I said, if it wasn't insanely a long period of time. On the other hand, they were talking about enslaving me. So if Nurse Snatchit thinks she can lease me up with a Montgomery Ward doggy collar and spank me with her microwave wand set to salt, I'd like to point out two things to her. First of all, the crux of consciousness is the apostrophe. And secondly, the human bites. The human chews it. The human bites. The human chews it. Well, there I go again. When I'm not heckling professional terrorists to put them on tilt, I'm putting my lips on the line for America and risking multidimensional STDs and crabs from the Crab Nebula. And for what? There are no medals, no Purple Heart, not even a congressional blue testicles ribbon of honor. Of course, I could back out. It's not an actual contract. I haven't asked for the consideration of a gummer in return. And as most every woman knows, a man cannot be relied upon to provide an orgasm, so promissory estoppel doesn't apply either. And the Martians may not even be interested. My libido could have garbled the Dreamland telepathic transmission. But on the other hand, there could be a galactic groupie effect involved. These folks have telepathy and time travel, and they may have discovered that I rose up from the human herd and screwed the paper-clipped U.S. military-industrial complex out of trillions of dollars in skim money alone, money that would have been used to build USAP UFO time warships that the Martians will no longer have to worry about. And by the way, I outgeneraled the treasonous top brass involved without firing a shot. And I was even able to work in a Princess Bride reference into the psyop joke I used as a weapon. But we've reached the end of the show, and that tall, not-so-white tale must wait until a future titillating episode of Free Thy Land Gone Underground. And on that day, a Milankovitch cocktail was thrown by the sun upon the Arctic methane, and behold, there did arise a great flaming donut from sea to shining sea. And it did lift up the land by classified technology, and the poles that were four were then again two, to the woe of the world.